Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Seems so quaint in retrospect that that song sung by Amy Grant would have caused such controversy as it did when it was released. She had been the darling of the contemporary Christian music industry, making a lot of money for them and really being popular beyond probably her imagination when she started playing her guitar in small venues. Then she started what they call the crossover, and it raised some eyebrows among the aficionados of contemporary Christian music, and eyebrows are being raised yet again about Amy Grant, this coming from a bookseller. We're going to be talking about media coverage of the Southern Baptist retailer's decision not to sell Amy Grant's new Christmas album. Terry Mattingly joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Terry, why is Amy Grant back in the news now?
Well, I think it's important to realize that at this point, Amy Grant has kind of turned into a symbol for an awful lot of evangelical Protestant churches. To some degree, she isn't Amy Grant. She's our Amy Grant. And to some degree, they feel they have some sort of kind of ownership or interest in what she does or doesn't do. This happens, frankly, a lot with Christian celebrities in general. I mean, there's an investment in them that, quite frankly, resembles the kind of emotional investment people have with clergy. And so Amy Grant has actually turned into the living, breathing symbol of battles back in the 80s and 90s over what was and what wasn't Christian music. And I think it's important to realize when we talk about Amy Grant that we're not really talking about one artist, and we're not even talking about music. We're talking about why so many evangelicals seem to think that creative artists have some sort of responsibility to be either kind of public evangelists for a certain approach to the faith, or at the very least, they're supposed to be in a quasi-ministry role to their fans. Now, we don't do this with anybody else, and we seem to do it more with music than with any other form of art, although you've probably heard pretty decent arguments, if you stop and think about it, about what is and what isn't a Christian movie. Those pop up every once in a while, especially as Hollywood continues to try to ring the bell that was the Passion of the Christ at the box office. We get into discussions about what is and what isn't Christian journalism. Or, you know, how many times have you heard arguments about Christian fiction? I mean, I get press releases, you know, every once in a while, some new novelist will be promoted as, he's the Christian John Grisham. Well, John Grisham is a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher. What's wrong with him? Well, he's not the right kind of Christian novelist, right? Which once again implies arguments about the nature and the goal of these people's culture creation. So when we talk about Amy Grant, we're really talking about what it means to be a Christian who attempts to create culture in the mainstream media world. And Amy just, I think because she was so popular with a generation of young evangelicals, she's just become, for better and for worse, she's become the living symbol of that.
And she has a new Christmas album. This is nostalgia writ large for Christians like me who listened to this Christmas album as a soundtrack for maybe their first Christmas away at a Christian college. It was just playing in the dorms incessantly, and she has a new one out. What's the story?
Well, the story, I think, has two different levels, and the piece I wrote about it at Get Religion raises this whole issue of the Christian lyrics thing again, because the folks at Lifeway, the bookstore branch of the Southern Baptist Convention, they cited that they were not going to carry the new Amy Grant Christmas album. They were not going to carry Tennessee Christmas because it didn't have enough Christian content. Well, man, this just really took me on a flashback. I was trying to think the first time I wrote a column about this side of the battle with Amy Grant. It predated the internet. I went looking for it with a search engine and couldn't find it, and then went, wait a minute, when was that? So I had to dig back into dead tree pulp. Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking folders full of paper. And I dug back and I dug back and I found it. It was from 1991. And even that followed the first time I had interviewed her and talked to her about these issues, which was at a huge Christian music festival that's held every summer, or at least it used to be, at Estes Park in Colorado. And the big thing was that you came in and you performed on stage, and the winner of the whole competition got a Christian recording contract. Can you imagine that? So here you have all of these young Christian hopefuls, and they all came in and with their backing tapes clutched in their hands, and they got up and they sang contemporary Christian music standards. Now, in the middle of all this, Amy Grant was there that summer for the last time as she was kind of saying goodbye to that world. And there was a symbolic moment that has always kind of symbolized the world of contemporary Christian music for me. And it's linked to what Amy Grant clearly wanted to leave. And we were in a lobby, and there was a bunch of scared young people all standing around waiting for their auditions. And a young woman got up, just herself and a Gibson J200 guitar, and she sang a really nice gospel country song that she had written herself. And boy, was it pure country. And I thought she was fantastic. She didn't even get out of the first round. Everybody that got out of the first round was singing to these pre-canned backing cassette tapes, you know, like of all the big stars. You know, Sandy Patty was hot here before she started using drums and fell into sin. You know, and all of this was going on. And these two girls were standing outside the door, and one turned to the other and said, "Who do you sound like?" And I thought to myself, now, isn't that something you want on your tombstone? Who did you sound like? I mean, and not that you sounded like yourself, or that you did the very best you could and gave of your own ability and gifts, you know, in terms of Christian art or whatever, but no, who do you sound like? Whose backing tapes are you using and who are you imitating? Well, Amy Grant fled all of that. And then sure enough, when she actually began to become a pop star, the huge song, of course, was Baby, Baby. I'm sure you remember the controversy. And in the video, she's flirting with a guy, with an actor. Instead of the role of the love interest being played by her husband at the time, an actor played the love interest, and the world of Christianity just melted down. And to some degree, people have been arguing about Amy Grant and her private life and what she's done and what she hasn't done right ever since then. Now, once again, Lifeway said the album wasn't Christian enough in terms of its lyric content. My suspicion is that what actually got this album spiked in Lifeway, and I was amazed that the Tennessean, the secular newspaper there in Nashville, I was amazed the Tennessean didn't have anybody who knew this. For over a year now, people have been arguing about an interview that Amy Grant gave to a gay publication called PrideSource.com, and it was then picked up by GLAAD, GLAAD, one of the kind of the official media publicity wing of the gay rights movement. Well, in this interview, Amy talks a lot about her gay fans and how she's always related to gays and friends of hers that have struggled with sexuality issues and all that. And in the midst of all this, she says she's reminded that she was said she was invited to sing at a friend's gay wedding. And she said, I would have been honored to do so, but wasn't able to because of a schedule conflict. This, in the world of online Christian gossip, this immediately turned into an announcement that Amy Grant was pro-gay marriage. Even though, I would say accurately, the folks at GLAAD noted that nowhere in this interview did Amy Grant actually say she had changed her position on marriage or on sexuality or whatever. GLAAD said, you know, if someday she comes to our side, this will be a very significant addition to the world of Christian artists who now back gay rights. If. Well, but when you go into the world of online Christian media, and see, here's that adjective again. Is there Christian journalism versus regular journalism or whatever? In the world of Christian writing, Amy Grant has already made up her mind, even though it didn't say that in the article. So here she is again, right on this interesting cutting edge between these two worlds. If she's a mainstream artist and she's just performing with her Christianity latent, the way it seems to be on Tennessee Christian Christmas, of course, she's not going to be trying to offend anybody in her audience or whatever. Is she a minister or is she a pop singer? Isn't that essentially the basic issue here?
Let me ask you this question. Is it where she started that has that really makes it difficult for her? Because, look, there are very outspoken Christian country western artists who even will occasionally put a hymn on one of their albums.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't start as Christian artists with the Christian label, so to speak. And so they're permitted to cross over all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody talks about the Judds, Naomi Judd, Winona Judd, as our Judds. But when Christians talk about artists like Amy Grant, it's our Amy Grant, sort of. There's this sense of ownership. And it's like, we gave her start. Doesn't she know what she owes us? I mean, Faith Hill can get up and belt out a brilliant gospel number. And that's just a part of her show. It's a part of, she goes to church in Nashville with her husband and all this, but nobody thinks of her as being limited by that marketplace, limited by that contemporary Christian music contract that she signed somewhere in her past. I mean, she's a superstar. She's Faith Hill. But Amy, there's this, I keep using the word, there's this sense of ownership that lots of Christians believe they have for these quasi-ministerial figures that are actually nothing but media and pop celebrities.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a Southern Baptist retailer's decision not to sell Amy Grant's new Christmas album. Did the Tennessean Story explain why Lifeway considered Grant's album not Christian enough? We'll answer that question after this.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment. delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November the 1st through the 8th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale at cph.org and at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November the 1st through the 8th. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest for another 10 minutes here on the program. We're talking about media coverage of Lifeway Books' decision not to sell Amy Grant's new Christmas album. Terry, did that Tennessean story explain in any detail why Lifeway considered Grant's album not Christian enough?
Yeah, there's a clip there, but the really interesting thing about this whole bit is that it actually broke because of an editorial essay knocking the Lifeway decision by Amy Grant's own manager. And I thought that was kind of interesting, that the story had to break in a kind of an editorial column by this person, obviously on one side of the issue in terms of relating to Amy Grant, her actual business manager. And in that article, there's all kinds of reference in the Washington Post article. I mean, it says, "Is it enough to sing joy to the world? The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." The album does contain two actual hymns. And then toward the end, it gets into some other lyric discussions. I mean, let me just read you. "I'm singing out this song till every lonely soul has heard. We're not alone because love has put his arms around the world. To be together at Christmas time. So every time that lonely feeling comes around again, listen, love is knocking here, wanting to come in to be together." And then there's another one, another song on the album that ends, "Every year on Christmas Eve, Jill hangs four stockings, now just three, wonders if there'll ever be another Merry Christmas. Our painted old nativity is fragile like the lives we lead, silently reminding me God is with us. Another Merry Christmas." Now, that sounds pretty dang Christian to me. And the article I wrote in 1991, if I can run through it just real quick, it was my attempt, based on some lectures I had been doing at Denver Theological Seminary, to synthesize this whole battle within Christian music. Christian inside quotation marks, inside the world of the Christian marketplace, in terms of what is Christian music. And real quick, the six camps are, number one is there are people who honestly don't think Christian music is anything other than hymns. And for these people, the brilliant music of Johann Sebastian Bach, signed "To the Glory of God," is not Christian music because it doesn't have lyrics that qualify as a hymn in many cases, or it's the wrong kind of hymn or something. The number two is we may not know what Christian music is, but it isn't rock and roll. This is basically the Christian music can be all kinds of things, but it can't have a backbeat, it can't have guitar solos, it's not rock. Those jungle rhythms, you know, are too sinful. The third is every Christian song, whether it's heavy metal, rap, gospel, country, whatever, has to include an obvious evangelistic message, because all Christian artists, in the end, must view themselves as evangelists. Now, that's a really crucial point in this argument. Number four, Christian music must at least include words that are overtly religious. In Nashville, you often hear this called the JPM factor in music. You want to take a guess at what JPM stands for?
Well, I've read your column.
Oh, okay. You read the piece. JPM stands for Jesus per minute. Do you have the right ratio of clear references to Christianity to all the other stuff? Is the JPM factor high enough? for it to be called Christian. And in effect, Lifeway was saying Tennessee Christmas doesn't have a high enough JPM factor, which is really wild because to me it actually has a pretty high one. Number five, this is the definition I've always used. Christian music is any music made by an artist who's publicly professes their faith as a Christian believer, as long as it expresses a Christian worldview of some kind. This is just basically that there are Christians and Christians make art, and that's how that works. And then the interesting one, number six, is actually something that in the very first interview I did with Bono years ago, back in the early 80s, Bono took a very interesting position. He says, Christian music doesn't exist. Now, what he meant by that was it doesn't exist as a marketplace because we're all sinners. All artists are sinners, and they shouldn't get to use a word as sacred as Christian as a label to define a product they're selling in a marketplace. That he thought that that was just shoddy and that Christians shouldn't resort to that, to use the word Christian as a sales promotional gimmick. Provocative, right? Now, you can see how Amy fits into a lot of those camps or doesn't fit into those camps, and how a lot of people who argue about Amy are saying one or the other of those various positions. And then you suddenly realize that that transfers right over to journalism. It transfers over to fiction. It transfers over to film. It transfers over to humor, acting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
With about a minute or a little bit more here, Terry, what do the journalists at the Tennessean need to do to fill out the story of Lifeway not carrying Amy Grant's Christmas album?
Well, first of all, I think they could approach Amy Grant for an interview. They could also go out into the churches of Nashville, where there are lots of artists in every conceivable genre, and they could ask them why this argument is important. In other words, you don't go out there to bash Amy Grant. You go out there to talk to real live artists about why this is. I also think the other question is that someone needs to go to Lifeway and ask point blank, is this album not going to be on your shelves because there are Christians who now consider Amy Grant too controversial because she gave this semi-sympathetic interview to a gay publication? Is that the actual reason for this entire argument about this Christmas album? I think my hunch is that that's what's going on.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to review the Tom Hanks, Ron Howard movie, Inferno. It's another movie based upon a Dan Brown book. Dan Brown has been, Pastor Ted Giese says he's been peddling in baby boomer fear with his last films, and especially with Inferno. Pastor Ted Giese will review that movie with us tomorrow on Issues Etc. Concordia University, Wisconsin is committed to lifelong Lutheran learning. They offer more than 50 online educational options for an associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree, and they'll waive your application fee when you use the program code ISSUES. Find out more by clicking the Concordia University, Wisconsin online logo at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.